David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he wrote a psalm that was to be sung as people would make their journey up to Jerusalem and ascending to Jerusalem. And we have it as Psalm 122, as he begins the psalm by saying that I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, and now here we are, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem. And now here we are, after 7 weeks of being away from one another, and it is indeed a joyous occasion in which we can come back together again and to worship again. The last time actually we were here was on a Wednesday night, March the 18th. That was 45 days ago, 554 hours ago, or 33,240 minutes. Is that right, Rick? It's not. But who's counting, right? I don't know. But it is, it's a joyous occasion to be able to be back together. It's so good to see your face, to be able to sing together. And Gary has done a splendid job in directing our minds in praise to God. We've sung about, oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. These are hymns of grateful praise, and it's important that, you know, I think that we recognize what we have been missing in being able to sing together and to sit together and to talk together. Now, I have to begin at first by apologizing for a few things. There is no green screen behind me with green grass and woods to ease your pain of the sermon, and I was going to record the birds singing and play them while I was preaching to make you feel at home, but I was afraid you'd be getting up and going to the kitchen to get your cup of coffee while you were doing that. So that's not going to happen. Sadly, I have to wear shoes now when I preach. So that's kind of it. But it's a good thing to be back with you. Now, for those watching on Facebook, we don't have the slides up as we were doing before. And it might be something we look into later about trying to incorporate the slides. The difficulty with it is if you remember from, at least from home, is that when the Bible class was done, you have a huge vista, and when you put the slides in there, you kind of narrow things down. But regardless, this morning, that we're not going to have any slides for you, and we apologize for that. I have thought about, what do you say in an occasion like this? I know that I can speak for everybody, and that's kind of a sad thing, is that what I'm about to say, we all can share together. There are things that sometimes we can say that, you know, I experienced things in life, or you and or somebody experienced things in life that we don't connect to. There's people that went through the Depression. We don't, you know, I don't know what that means. There's people who lived through the World War, don't have any idea what that means. That there's actually people that don't even remember the Vietnam War. That's kind of scary. But, you know, the thing about what we're going through now, we all, boy, we're all experiencing this thing together as we are together. And I kind of wondered, you know, what do you do when you have your first service? Because, granted, I knew that there was going to be a smaller crowd, and there needs to be, because there are some people that need to stay home and to care for themselves and to kind of begin things back again. And, you know, we're trying to follow certain guidelines to try to keep people safe and healthy. I doubt that these will be in place very long. And I might just say, I'll just make an observation. We tried to think of everything that would make people feel comfortable, trying to be as proactive as we can. That's why we've got the pews, you know, kind of split as we do. Hey, I lost my seat too, okay? So, you know, some things changes. And I don't know, I was thinking that at the end of services, we had decided we'd have some men and kind of usher you guys out by the side doors. I think we can forgo that. I don't think that we have that many people here really. Just, you know, be mindful of people if they're not comfortable about hugging and shaking hands and all of that. You know, appreciate that. Your patience is much appreciated in all of this. But what do we do? How do we do this? How do we come back together? Well, we need to, pray that the barbershops and beauty salons open up quick. You would understand that more if you were in my position looking at the crowd. And if your necktie is too short because you've eaten too much, buy a rope. We've got some changes that we've gone through in these past 7 weeks. But there are some things that as we bring this situation to a close. And there may be some more weeks of concerns and maybe month things that we're going to have to do things a little bit different. We're going to be looking at when the best time is to bring the Bible classes back in the back with the children. And we're going to be looking at that. But we're living, no doubt, in historic times. And we're going to try to be proactive and to bring this back to where we need to be. But we need to, I think, remind ourselves that the reason that we stopped meeting was because of our love for one another. And we're trying to help one another. I mean, it reminded us about how much we need one another. I don't know about you, but did you not feel emptiness because you couldn't be here in this building? I know when I would come to this building and it was empty, it was heartbreaking because the singing was missed. The fellowship, as I was coming out of the back this morning and I was hearing the chatter, not as loud as it was before because we don't have as many people. But that was such a warm feeling to hear your communication with one another. And I know that I've missed that. I've missed being able to sing together. The spiritual loneliness as we're separated from one another. And I hope that what that has done is maybe given us a keener sense of worship as we are trying to worship together today. And it wasn't that I was going to give you an 8-minute sermon. That's a possibility, but that's not going to happen. And it's not going to be probably that long. But I want to spend some time in the book of 1 Chronicles and looking at an occasion that was a joyous time for David. The background of our passage is that David has brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And this is a very important time because since the Jews built this thing at Mount Sinai many, many years before, this has been the central worship of the nation of Israel. Now, David had a desire to build a temple for the Lord. And Nathan, the prophet, thought it was a good idea, and God came and said, no, it's not a good idea. David was a man of war, and so God did not permit him to build a temple. But one of the things that David did accomplish was he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem instead of Shiloh and in a couple of other places that it was located. And so this was the city of David. This was the city of God. And so the Ark is going to be there after David dies. Solomon's going to build the temple. They're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant in, put it into the Most Holy of Holies, and it's going to be there for about 200 or something years. And the early 500s, the Babylonians are going to come and destroy the temple, and they're going to, contrary to what you hear about Ethiopia, the Babylonians took the Ark of the Covenant and destroyed it, melted it down, and did something with it, who knows what. But this is the starting point. And this was a huge thing for David because it was the beginning. It was where all of this would be, where the home of the Ark would be for many, many decades. And David realized this. And what's interesting about this passage in 1 Chronicles 16 is the fact that David knew this was just not an ordinary day. And I think that there are some things that we could recognize in what we're doing. This is not ordinary. What we have been through is not ordinary. What we're going to go through is not ordinary. And we need to, you know, again, continue to do what is needful for our congregation. And I think that what David realized is that this was not just merely bringing a small box that had some stuff in it into the city of Jerusalem and that was it. David was trying to impress upon the people how important this day was and what this day would mean for them and how important that this would be for them, because this is a time that was going to be very impactful. And I think that maybe you and I are not going to forget this day for a long time, the first Sunday of May, when we got back together in the year 2020. It's kind of ironic that this is our 5-year anniversary, that when we began here 5 years ago today, working with the Brooksville Church. And so this is a timestamp. We will never forget 2020. I'm concerned. I feel sorry for the graduates of school that are not going to be able to go through their things. They're going to remember this year and the elections. All things that are going to happen in 2020 is not going to be forgotten. The point of it is that David realized that what was about to happen was going to be a very special time. And so he wanted to make it a special time. And he's doing a lot of things here. He was polishing everything. He was bringing out the best. And he was putting things together to praise God, raise the voice up, and all of that. And so that's what we're doing here. that we're trying to rekindle again what we've lost for 7 weeks. And I think what he says here is so important about this great psalm of thanksgiving, that he was able to be a part of this. And so our text is in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and it begins in verse 7. As he's made all the preparations, he's put Asaph in charge of things and put people in the right place. We're going to pick up in 1 Chronicles 16 again on page 476 of your Pew Bible in verse 7, that on that day David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. Verse 20. And when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do not my prophets any harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of the holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. And then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together. Deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. He's just bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. But this was not just any time. This was a time of great rejoicing. This is a time that he wanted to focus. And you know, there are things that sometimes that happen in our lives, and you know, we celebrate anniversaries and birthdays and holidays, and there's been special vacations. We go back and we look at those and we think about those times, and there are times that maybe even as we mourn the passing of a loved one, we remember what day and all these, and there are special days that we go back to, and it brings our mind back to things, and it brings our minds to an event that was special to us. And what David is doing, I think, is he's trying to impress upon these people that, you know, in the days that come, and maybe when there's feeling of disparity and people are kind of wondering what's kind of going on, they're going to go back and say, you know, let's think about that day when David brought the Ark of the Covenant. What a day of rejoicing that was. And I think to a large degree for all of us, I hope that we never forget this day, in the sense that this day marks the beginning of something that we have been through that has been most remarkable, and yet is the beginning of something that I hope is a new renewal, of something that rekindles things in us to remind us about how great God is. Because when we look at this great psalm that David gives us, there are five things. Oh boy, there's five things. Legally, you're only supposed to give three, but there are five things in this psalm that are so important about what we're doing today. And as David expressed this, because the reality of it is, as bad as things have been, maybe, or as bad as they might be, or whatever it is, and how difficult this may have been, there is one thing that has not changed. God is still as great as he was 7 weeks ago, or a year ago. And what David does in this psalm is he says, give thanks to the Lord. I mean, look what he's done. And I know that as difficult as this has been, and as we go through all of this, it still doesn't change the fact that God is still as great. And we remember the wonders that He's performed, because the thing we have to, especially I think, learn out of these experiences is the fact that there's a lot of fear mongers that are out there. There's a lot of people that want to get everybody just to the point that we're just overwhelmed. We're not those kind of people, because we serve a living God. And we look at what all God has done, and there's nothing that we're going to fear. We could talk about God concerned about the sparrows and God knowing what's going on in the world. I mean, what David is simply saying is to seek the Lord in His strength and see His face evermore. No matter what goes on, no matter how things are going, God is still great. He is still as important as He's always been. He's still, here's the thing we need to remember, He's still in control. God has never lost control of the world, no matter what man does. And David is just giving acknowledgement of the fact that God is great. And you know, in verse 9, what we need to do is we need to talk of His wondrous works. If you begin to wonder, go back to the Word of God. We'll talk about that in a moment. Just talk about what God's done. Maybe what God has done in your life. And I know that what's impacted us personally, we need to think about, well, you know, God has taken care of me. And the reason that God is great is because God keeps His Word. Then in verse 14, He talks about His judgments and His covenants and the everlasting covenant that He made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When has God never kept His promise? When has God ever failed you and I? When has God said, okay, you're out of this thing? And what David is saying is, remember His covenant forever. Remember the commitment that God has made. No matter what is going on in the world, whether it is the virus or whether the impending tsunami of economic whatever is coming, God is still going to keep His word. God's will is not going to change, and that God's will and His love for us has not changed. God is still God, and He's still great, and His word is still sure. And that needs to give us the assurance that as we spend time in God's word, we say, it's okay, because I serve a God who has not changed. His word is established in heaven. His word is that which is going to give us everything that we need with no reservation whatsoever. And so what we've got is we've got the blessing of God. The third thing, because of this, and because God is great, and because God keeps His word, what are we doing? Well, we did that this morning. He talks about in verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim the good news. What does He want us to do? He talks about singing and declaring and to recognize who God is. There's a reason to rejoice. Number one, I'm glad because we're back together. I'm glad we're beginning to bring this all back together. But I'm also glad that we never were separated from one another. As much as I fuss about Facebook, and I still will because I have to, it's in my genes, I am so thankful for Facebook. I'm thankful for the mechanisms of technology. Because if you think about it, I think is right, 20 years ago, we'd had a rough 7 weeks. Because there wasn't the technology, or 30 years ago, to do what we've been able to do these past 7 weeks. And I'm thankful for that. So we need to be thankful of the things that we have. And the people that are with us this morning are not able to be with us. I mean, to be thankful of the fact that there's reason to rejoice, because great is the God. And to recognize that God is glorious and strong, and to say that we can worship Him and the beauty of His holiness. What a great song to sing when He talked about the beauty of the Lord in the beginning. I thought when He said beauty, He was going to be talking about me, but usually it's a ready-to-suffer song. But when we look at our world and we look about us, it's the fact that we can see that there's reason to rejoice. There's a lot of people that are not happy right now, but we can be happy. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be tough. But we can rejoice in the Lord because He is still there. And that's because we need to give Him what He deserves. I mean, this is such a great passage. This is such an impactful message that He gives in verse 29 when He says, give to the Lord the glory due His name. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. That means now, like we did in 2019, and if God permit that we're here in 2021, then we're going to be able to do it again, because the Lord still reigns and no virus is going to change that. See, sometimes I think we get a little overwhelmed by watching probably too much news, but we get a little overwhelmed by all of these things we've got. The Lord said, as a man thinketh, well, the wise man said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Lord said, what comes out of the mouth is coming from the heart. We need to recognize that, 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 the Lord gets the glory about this, and that's not going to change anything. We are not going to be prohibited from worshiping God. We may have stopped assembling temporarily, but that didn't keep us from worshiping God. We got to remember the two that are different. We may not be able to physically come together, but that doesn't mean that we stop worshiping. But what we're going to do is we're going to give Him the glory because it's due Him. And that's because it is a psalm of thanksgiving. There in verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He's good. Is God good? Was God good in January? Yeah. Was He good in February? Sure. Was He good in March? Still is. What about April when we weren't here? He was good. What about May? Is He going to be good next month? Absolutely. He's going to be good all the time. If there's anything that we should have drawn from this experience is how much we need the Lord and how much we have to be thankful for Him. And that's all that David is saying. I mean, he'd been through a lot. He had conquered the city and he'd gathered people together and there was still a lot of work to be done, but he was there. And in our present distress, let me tell you something, God is still great. He has kept His word, and God desires for His people to worship Him. God deserves the glory due Him, and God desires His people just simply to say thanks to Him. You know, this morning in our Bible class, we talked about the 10 lepers. And if we, again, understand that all 10 of them were healed, only one of them came back and said, thank you. And God, and Jesus said, were there not nine? And as we go through this and as we maybe bring things back and as things get a little bit better for us, whatever that means, we should never, ever stop failing or stop thanking God and saying to God, thank you for all that we've got. We've begun the journey to gather again as the people of God. We're going to bring this all back together. Let these past weeks instill in our hearts a greater desire. I hope that if anything that's been accomplished this past 7 weeks, that we've got a stronger desire to serve God. Do not allow the trappings of the world to cloud our focus on Jesus Christ. Don't let this garbage out there make us forget who we are. Don't fall back into the old habits of things that we've done before. Let this be the rekindling of our spirit. Spend more time in prayer, recognizing the important need of talking to God. Be mindful of others, encouraging others. There's still a lot of people out there that need encouragement. We need to worship Him. And one of the things that I've missed about our assembling together is the fact that we haven't been able to extend invitations. Because that's still a need. You know, we're concerned about this pandemic. We're concerned about this virus. And we need to be okay. That ain't the problem. Never has been the problem. There have been a lot of these things in the world. I mean, there's been the Black Plague and the 1918 Spanish flu, and there's been a lot of things. But you know what the biggest problem is that most people will not do? What I find interesting is that we're going to do everything we can to keep us away from this terrible COVID-19 virus. Man, we will wash our hands so much there ain't nothing left but bones. We'll wear a mask. We will actually wear them in public in the grocery stores. Remember the first time you did it, you felt awkward. You look around. Is anybody else wearing a mask? Okay. If 15 people are wearing a mask, I'll wear a mask. We're doing all that. What about sin? What about the ultimate germ? What about the ultimate disease that will destroy you in eternity, not about this world? And the invitation of Jesus Christ is what Peter said when they were pricked in their hearts and hearing him preach. Peter told him to repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. You know, we need to see that the invitation is always here. And that's a time of praising. And maybe during this time, if you've recognized that you are not ready to meet the Lord, that you can make that decision even this morning and be baptized in water to rise up in the newness of life. That's a great time and an opportunity to begin anew and to always remember that no matter what happens and no matter what's going to happen in the next few days, weeks, or whatever, Jesus is still Lord. That don't change. And it won't change. What we're asking is you to change. Let's all change and say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Consider these things. Let's stand as we sing.